You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
on every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And away we go. Monday morning, March the 18th. You are with us, which means you are still alive. Congratulations to you and yours. It is DNR. There is a lot going on. The NCAA brackets are out. The Islanders lose to the Rangers, which means we all get a free breakfast tomorrow morning thanks to our good friend Rick DiPietro. Pete Alonso, little update with him and the New York Mets. The Jets making moves. So much to do. Good morning, Rick DiPietro. How are you?
And you got to send out a nasty tweet, don't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
I sure did.
Yeah, real nice.
That's
real
right.
Classy.
I wasn't trying to be classy.
Yeah, real class act you are.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, listen, I deserve it.
Don't bury the lead.
No, no! Rangers are better.
Rangers are better than the Islanders.
Rangers are a better team than the Islanders. Rangers, listen, the Rangers on the second game of a back-to-back are the best team in the NHL.
I think they're undefeated, right?
They have one loss. Are they 11-1? Second game of a back-to-back?
My goodness.
And they came out flying.
Yeah, they were flying.
And then they fell behind. It was a weird play, though, too, because Igor thought it was icing.
Right.
Puck ends up going through his crease right to Horvat, and he ends up scoring.
Hell of a pass, though.
Hell of a pass. It's just, we blow a game to Ottawa that we should have won.
Well,
and then we show up too soft in the middle of the ice. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. So you guys can order what you want. Breakfast nice. On me tomorrow. Congratulations.
Nice. Now, you hear that, RJ? Raymond? You guys had a free breakfast regardless.
They got us two other free breakfasts.
Yeah. But tomorrow morning, free breakfast, we can order whatever we'd like.
Anything. You name it.
Big thing of bacon.
Oh,
bagels.
Yeah. Crispy bacon, bagels. Oh.
Raymond, what do you think about ordering?
Oh, I think you know what I'm ordering.
You're ordering a bagel.
Nice bacon, egg, and cheese.
Bacon, egg, and cheese, man. You don't even know him.
I don't even know him. Man loves a bagel. We talked about the bagel the other day, how much he loves it.
No, he loves the bagel, but the bacon,
omelets,
the bacon, egg,
omelets
and cheese.
Omelet's solid, too.
It's what he likes.
Why don't you do like a John Winthrop and get a double breakfast or one large breakfast?
I could get you a bacon and cheese omelet with a bagel on the side.
It's also doable.
That's nice,
too. We have options here.
That's classy, too. That's nice.
Very, very nice.
Maybe I'll do that. Hey, listen, maybe I'll just surprise you guys with just a nice little
a melange? Sport.
Yeah, a melange of breakfast treats.
That would be nice. It really would be nice. So, yeah, Rangers. Now, the bad news for the Rangers is this Ryan Lindgren injury did not look good at all.
It did not look good, no.
At all.
Kind of hyperextended that left knee going into the boards. That guy is he takes such a beating.
I have never seen, this is sincere, an athlete get hurt more consistently than Ryan Lindgren.
He plays so hard, man. He plays so hard, and he's always getting nicked up. You got Trouba now Lindgren, and I think the one thing we've noticed when Lindgren is out, not necessarily great for Adam Fox. That's kind of it puts him in a tough spot because Adam Fox is not great defensively, and he has the safety blanket of knowing that Lindgren's always going to be there for him.
Right.
But hopefully it's nothing too serious.
I don't know. I mean, it looked awful. And then you get the thing that gives me some pause to actually think maybe it's not is that Raymond had the exact same tweet or text to us that he had when Brunson got hurt. And that was a nothing, right? So, well, again, yesterday, what was it like? Season over for Lindgren.
Well, I hope that's not the case. And it didn't look good. I mean, it's another one of those ones where he couldn't put weight on it. I mean, kept it straight. They had to help him off the ice. And you know how tough he is. So, I mean, we'll see. He's going to get all the testing done and everything else. But that would be a huge loss for you guys. Huge.
A huge. That would be absolutely brutal. So, I mean, we have a lot going on here. Obviously, we're going to get into the college basketball. The Jets have not one but two tackles, and they're still in it for more. Pete Alonso and Steve Cohen, there's some updates there that we'll certainly get into. So, what do you want to do, a little college basketball and into the Jets? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, like, I mean, the big story, I think, is for me, the Jets – and what Joe Douglas has been able to do. Aaron's not running for vice president, which is great, but I know you're...
Correct. Aaron's not running for vice president.
That's correct. So he'll be back. And then I'm sure you're going to complain like everyone else, including myself, about the college basketball.
Well, it's funny. I'm torn here, and I'll tell you why. The first reason is, if you can't be one of 68 teams, do you deserve to go? Right? That's my... like.
No, but I don't think that's the question, though.
Is a lot of teams no, but I think the issue is, do St. John's and Seton Hall deserve to go over some of the teams that wound up going? Now, what happened was, and anyone that's, you know, doesn't 100% know, and it certainly will inform you, is that there was so, I don't ever remember this many teams that were not anticipated going wind up going to the big dance. Like NC State, if NC State doesn't go, right, if they don't win five games in 5 days, which, by the way, they've won now more games in Washington, D.C. than Georgetown has in, like, the last year and a half.
I still don't understand why you're still a fan of them.
Because that's my team.
It's like you want to punish yourself.
No, listen, it doesn't pain me the same way because they've been so bad, but that's the team that I root for. But, like, if NC State, did you see, by the way, the worst thing almost you've ever seen, the Akron game? Did you see what happened there?
The Akron game.
Yeah, you could say no, it's fine.
I'm trying to figure out which game you're talking about. Is that so, when all the stuff came out of the...
I don't even remember who... Akron is playing, and RJ might even remember. I forget who they're playing. So Akron is playing, right? They are down one. They go in 8 seconds, 7, 6. They hit a little floater, little shot. They go up one. One of the guys on their team thinks they're down one. The ball gets inbounded. He fouls up one intentionally with 5 seconds left.
I didn't see it.
It might have been against Kent State.
It was Kent State. It's one of the most horrifying things I've ever seen.
I don't know. I'm being fully transparent. I don't know how, if you're that guy, you will get out of bed for a month.
The reverse J.R. Smith.
What was the J.R. Smith?
When he ran around with the ball.
Oh, right. LeBron. Right.
Remember LeBron was
of course, in game one. Yeah, I was thinking J.R. Smith on the Knicks. Yes, on the Cavs when he had the ball. And he didn't want any part of shooting. Yes, but this guy, he fouled intentionally, and they lost the game. So, but there's so many teams. Oregon was not going to go. Many teams that wound up going that wouldn't have gone. So, yeah, St. John's and Seton Hall got hosed. There's no doubt about it. I don't understand how a conference like the Big East, which you look at, best team in college basketball, whether they win or not, is UConn. That's hands down, okay? Marquette is a terrific team, and they've been without their best player for quite some time now in Tyler Kolek. And then Creighton is a terrific team as well. Those are the three teams you send. The Big East sent three teams. The Mountain West sent six.
Yeah. Well, you said it too. I think the biggest disconnect for a lot of people. And by the way, watching, was it DJ Burns for NC State?
Yeah,
I watched that guy. I could watch that guy play basketball all day long.
I don't understand. I've never seen anything like it. He what would you say?
I love it.
He must be over 300 pounds.
They have him. I actually checked as I was watching.
They have him listed at 270.
275.
There's a better chance that I'm 150 than he's 275.
That is a big. Boy,
I have never seen anything like it. And the way they defend him is wild. They won't double him. So he's like,
he's too
big. 275. He gets the ball. I'm not even exaggerating. Like 18 feet away from the basket. And it's like, all right, let's get to work. Dribble, dribble, back in, back in, back in, back in. No, they won't double him at all. And he winds up getting these great looks from 4 feet out. No, and at first I thought, and I've seen him play before. At first I thought, boy, you know what? This is a guy who's just owning, like, Duke doesn't really have a legitimate big guy. And then he did against Virginia. And then to make matters even more convincing of how good, in fact, and tough he is, he owned Armando Bacot on Saturday night. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I mean, then you have to, you actually have a North Carolina fan in your house, diehard fan. So I can imagine how that those conversations
let's just
went.
Say DJ Burns would not be welcome in my home right now. I mean, you should have. Alex was going through a battle within his own mind. It was unbelievable. He starts the game. Well, you know what? Why are we even playing the starters? We have a one. That's what Joe Lunardi says. It's locked away. It's like, Alex, that doesn't work like that in college basketball. You don't. It's on the NFL where week 18, you're like, you know, we have it all wrapped up. You're trying to win an ACC championship. It matters. Why? I don't care. Doesn't matter. I'm like, great. He doesn't care. This will be a, yeah. That lasted for about 2.5 minutes. He's like, cover the fat guy. He's like, stop letting the fat guy go one-on-one. Like, Alex, stop. Calm down. And then, like, second half, I'm like, you know what? I think Carolina's going to lose. He turns to me and goes, you know what? Can you be quiet, please? You talk way too much.
Ugh.
I was like, oh, my God.
He's taking over the house.
He's an animal.
He's taking it over.
And then I get at the bench. He goes, so did North Carolina win? I was like, did North Carolina win? I was like, what home were you in for the first half of this game, for the, you know, first half of the night? She's like, I didn't realize I was not paying attention to him. I was like, I don't know how you could have avoided it. So, yeah, if you're a St. John's or a Seton Hall fan, you are horrified this morning at what happened.
How about if you're an Indiana State fan?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing
like,
is
why have these ratings? I think that's the point. Like, why have these rankings?
Right, like the net rankings and the overall power rankings.
The Ken Palm, all these rankings. Like, why have them then if you're not going to follow them? Well, I mean, so St. John's was actually, net rating was 32.
Right. And Patino, I don't know if you heard Patino. He said, throw these out the window. They are irrelevant, these rankings.
Okay. So 32 was going to be the highest to be left out of the tournament. NC State in 2019 was 33rd. Indiana State was 29th, and they got left out of the tournament.
Yeah. And they won the regular season, is it the Missouri Valley, I think, that they're in? And they went down to the nubs of the championship game in the conference finals. I mean, what, outside of winning it, and then you know you don't have to worry, what more are you supposed to do if you're a team like that?
Right. So that's, I mean, I think that's the biggest problem that everyone has, is that why have these rankings if you're not going to actually use them?
I think it's fair. Here's Rick Pitino, who just is, he's done with all of it.
I think we all should probably never mention that word again because I think it's fraudulent. I think the Nets are something that shouldn't even be mentioned anymore. We had a good strength of schedule. Ken Palm, why mention him? We were 26 in Ken Palm. We tried to play a tough schedule. We tried to do things the right way. We didn't get in, but I never make excuses. I respect the committee for what they do. They give their time. They give their energy to it. They didn't think that we measured up to their standards, and we'll take it very positively like men and move forward. We're not going to gripe. We're not going to say we got screwed. We're not going to. None of that helps. Bitterness does not help. I've had enough bitterness in my life to last a lifetime.
You know, it's funny. Bitterness does not help. Are they going to the NIT? No. Why are they not going to the NIT? We don't need that.
Well, not, but that you also have to deal with the transfer portal and your recruiting too. So why waste time?
You should go because you should go.
Well, listen, man. I think it's more important probably what happens with getting your team in order for next season than it is what happens in the NIT. I get what you're saying. I understand it. You were invited.
I
don't know.
Tom Crean had an impassioned speech last night.
Oh yeah, saw that.
Yeah, saying that it's disgraceful to not go.
Well, it's also disgraceful, I mean, in theory, being left out of the tournament when clearly, like, I mean, the things that they're supposed to be using, and I think you did a good job of just explaining how many teams that weren't expected to win their conference championships actually won and got automatic bids. But still, like, I mean, you point to these things and you have all these, you know, advanced analytics and numbers and everything else, and, you know, St. John's goes on a 6-game winning streak. They take the best team in college basketball. I mean, they lose by 5, 95-90. They scored 90 on UConn. They avenged their loss to Seton Hall. They beat Creighton. It's like, okay, and we're sitting here. We're 32nd in net. We're, he said 26, but I think they were 25th in Ken Palm. Like, what? Okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing you could say is that, I mean, I actually feel worse for a team like Indiana State, like you mentioned, because Indiana State had a great regular season. Like, you could say St. John's is right there on the bubble, which, in fact, they were. And if certain upsets, like UAB wins the whatever, AAC, like, you have all these, like, you didn't expect it. Duquesne wins the Colonial. Like, all these things you did not anticipate to happen. But Indiana State did everything outside of, like, 90 seconds of basketball at the end. Like, St. John's did have, I mean, they did have other opportunities. I mean, the coach came out during the regular season is like, you know, my guys just aren't very good. What they're doing is unacceptable. So, I don't know, man. I don't know if the answer is to go to 96, which seems like it's way too many teams, but something clearly didn't work. Last night was not great by the committee. I would agree with that.
Yeah, and on top of that, look at look at UConn's road that they have to go through.
By the way, and I watched them a bunch.
That's the best team.
That they are just, I mean, that's a sensational team.
Yeah, they're a great team. And I think I was watching a lot of the coverage, and I think they had, Billis, Seth, and Jay Will all had UConn winning the championship again.
It's hard to pick against them.
It is hard to pick against them. I would agree with that.
So you mentioned their road. So first-round Stetson, that should be easy. Florida Atlantic, Northwestern. I mean, Florida Atlantic was a Final Four team last year, and they returned almost their entire team.
Yeah, I continue.
And then you're going to get, I guess, either San Diego State or Auburn, I imagine. Auburn just won the SEC, which is a power conference, right?
Yep.
And then you're going to get Iowa State, who you could argue is like, I don't know, top five team in all of college basketball right now, who just beat up on a team that a lot of people really like in Houston. So that's just to get to the Final Four.
Right.
Right? That's just to get there. And then it would be, I don't know, North Carolina or in Arizona or somebody like that. And then, you know, open game on the championship. But here's the thing. Would you bet against them?
Would I bet against them? No. No, I would not. I'd have a hard time betting against them.
I mean, they're just so unbelievably great. They really are. And I tell you what, man, he is a great college basketball coach. Great.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. That's a really good team. I think there are a lot of people that were hoping that he kind of spoke up a little bit more about the Big East and the lack of representation. But, I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, he's going to be on the K-Show this afternoon, Danny Hurley.
Nice. Yeah, but Patino's right. Like, at this point, what are you going to do? Complain about it?
No, just you're frustrated. I'm sure you're frustrated.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Full breakfast is coming tomorrow morning, courtesy of our dear friend Richard DiPietro, because the Rangers beat up on the Islanders yesterday at the Garden. But, Rick, you had a nice weekend, I think. Knicks with a good win, we'll get to that. And then the Jets, I mean, Tyron Smith, that's a good move for your Jets.
Yeah, that's a game-changing kind of move for us.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it also gives us a lot of flexibility here in the draft. I'm sure Bakhtiari's coming too, right? Didn't we say, we were talking about this on Friday, and I said, I mean, who says no to finding a way to get Tyron Smith, and then if it's now Brock Bowers at 10, I mean, now you have that option, depending on what happens now with Mike Williams today. If we can keep him inside that building and not headed to Carolina for a visit.
Well, that would be nice, huh?
That would be great.
It's a nice thing the Jets have going on now. Because Morgan Moses, and again, Morgan Moses is like, all right. But Morgan Moses is the second best tackle you bring in, and Tyron Smith. And now, I said the entire time, if you bring in Bakhtiari and you say to him, I need you to start at left tackle, disaster. If you bring in Bakhtiari and the expectations are almost none, that's a tremendous win. And if you bring him in now, that would be the situation.
Right. And on top of that, I was told by Raymond before the show that because he likes Tyron Smith so much that he's going to ease up on the Jets a little bit, maybe actually start rooting for them, which I like. Seems like they figured out his kind of his practice schedule where he's really not taking live reps. He's kind of off to the side to keep him healthy.
Right.
The Bakhtiari thing is interesting because I guess this latest surgery that he had apparently fixed what they had screwed up initially. So I guess he's back to being healthy, I guess. But you're right. I mean, to just bring him in as the lone left tackle would have been a disaster. But this is what you're hoping for. And I don't think Joe Douglas, you got to give him credit. He played the market perfectly. I don't think they thought this was there was a chance that this could happen. And I mean, they were able to get it done.
No, you should be very excited. I mean, really, because what were the things we said the Jets desperately needed? Offensive line help. Well, you know what? It feels like if it's not fixed, again, and I'm not opposed to, you said maybe you go with a weapon. Maybe you do. The thing is, you have a lot of options now. If you look at one of the offensive linemen and say, you know what, let me add another offensive lineman, let's do that. If you look at Brock Bowers or whoever happens, whatever receiver it is, or maybe you trade back and stockpile more picks, whatever, the nice thing is you're kind of fluid now if you're the Jets, which is you're not in a desperate place, which is a nice place to be in.
Right, and you also have, I mean, again, we've said it, a million times, that the draft can be a crapshoot, right? Like, did anyone think that Evan Neal wasn't going to be good and it hasn't worked out? So you don't know. You could love a guy, but at least now in free agency, for Joe Douglas, the price has been right on some of these deals that he's just made. Is he's got proven, proven commodities that he knows he can plug in and play, and now when you get to the draft, would I be surprised if he trades down from 10? To try to pick up a second round pick? No, I wouldn't be surprised because this draft is loaded with offensive linemen and wide receivers. Two things that you still need.
Right. And you can still, if you move back to 15, you should still be able to get a really good offensive lineman. And then you add that second round pick and maybe add another wide receiver. The two things the Jets unequivocally had to address, offensive line and wide receiver. Offensive line is, I don't even know it's done being addressed, but it's been addressed nicely so far, and you will change the way the wide receiver room looks. So I think you're going to go in with a lot of excitement again for the Jets. And I think you're going to buy in, and then we'll kind of see where we're at.
I got to tell you, too, a healthy Mike Williams.
Oh.
You talk about complimenting Garrett Wilson would be the perfect compliment. Sounds like they were in on Keenan Allen.
They were. And it feels like a lot of people thought that he used them a little bit.
Well, listen, that wouldn't be the first time that's happened. I just don't know why you were Keenan Allen, you would choose to go play with a rookie as opposed to playing with Aaron Rodgers. That doesn't make much sense, but I guess he probably feels like he does well with Caleb Williams all of a sudden now.
Yeah, but it's not like, that's odd to me because it's not like he's 25 years old. Keenan Allen is, he's 31 years old?
I think it'll be 32, yeah, but I think my point is this, is that they're not paying Caleb Williams, right? So all of a sudden now he becomes for Caleb Williams what he was for Justin Herbert. How do you let him go? Like, there's more value to that for Chicago because they need Caleb Williams to work out, right? So there's a better chance that he probably gets a deal there at his age because of how important he would be to Caleb Williams.
Maybe you're right, but I'm just saying if he had a great year with Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, you don't think that a team like Chicago that has a lot of money or Washington that will have a lot of money would spend big on him? I don't know. It feels curious to me.
Well, it does too to me, but when you look at the offensive weapons that they're putting around whoever they draft, I mean, that's... They got some pretty good players there now.
Oh, yeah. They've done real well. But I got to tell you, man, I think the Jets have done really well. I said at the start, let's take it easy. And then I was getting a little antsy 3 days in. But this weekend, and again, there's still a lot of work to be done, to be fair. But so far, I think you'd be silly to not say you don't like what the Jets have done.
A healthy Tyron Smith changes everything for that offensive line. Everything. Especially now because, you have two legitimate tackles. AVT, you can keep him at guard where he's most comfortable. He told us that's where he wants to be. The flexibility in the draft is also huge. And then on top of that, I mean, when you look at what Minnesota just did, four quarterbacks are going in the top 10. Four are going.
I don't even think that's a debate.
Which is good for us.
I would one-up you there, and I would say four quarterbacks are going in the top six.
Okay. So, I mean, again, so that you're going to have wide receivers, like the more quarterbacks that go, the better it is for me.
Of course.
At 10.
Of course. Listen, four quarterbacks, you're 10. Four quarterbacks go, three receivers go. Joe Alt is 8. So now you're looking at a bevy of offensive linemen you could take at 10. You're looking at Bowers that you could potentially take at 10. You're going to, don't worry, you're going to have a terrific player sitting there at 10 for you.
Right. Now it's just, is it the player you want? Where is that player on your board? Or is it more value to, with where this draft is talent-wise with the positions that you need, do you trade back and pick up that second-round pick that you lost in the Rodgers deal?
Yeah, I think it's all good things. If you add, if I tell you you're going to add Brock Bowers, you would love it. If I told you you're going to move back to 15 and still take a really good offensive lineman and add a second round pick, at least one, I think you'd like that as well. I think
I
that,
would, but I got to tell you.
Yeah.
If you told me right now I had Breece Hall in the backfield, Garrett Wilson with Mike Williams, and then we add Brock Bowers, hoo-wee.
You wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
Gets me a little excited.
You know what's going to happen? The big question surrounding the Jets is not going to be how talented they are. It's going to be health is what it's going to be.
Right. Of course. Well, I mean, look at the age of your quarterback coming off an Achilles, right?
He's not even the one I worry about. Like, Tyron Smith is great when he plays. The problem is he doesn't – I mean, there's zero chance he's going to give you 17 games. None.
Well, who knows? You say that, but who knows?
I know.
Now that they found this new way to try to keep him healthy, maybe it ends up working.
Ask Ray. Ray, is there any chance that Tyron Smith gives you 17 games?
I think there's a chance.
Oh, come on.
No, look.
When was the last time he played 17 games?
It's been quite a few years that he has, but a lot of them were different type of injuries, and I think last year was when Dallas figured out something that worked. If the Jets... And again, there's no reason the guy has to practice like everyone else. He's good. He's when he's out there, he's elite.
By the way, the answer is 2015. The last time.
Yeah, 2015. That's right.
So stop it. Please stop it.
If it suddenly happened, I wouldn't fall out of a chair over it. I'll put it that way.
Onto the floor, out of a chair.
It's more likely than not that he doesn't play 17. But give me this, that there's a chance.
I guess there's a chance that money's going to fall out of the sky when you walk to your car after the show, too.
Yeah, you're so negative.
I'm not negative. I'm realistic. RJ, can you chime in here for one time?
It'd be hard to go in thinking he's going to play... I mean, if he gives
you want to be wet blankets
don't go,
with me today?
Don't go in and expect that he's going to play 17.
I mean. If I told you right now you're going to get 14 games from Tyron Smith, you'd sign for it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, of course I
would. Yeah, of course you would.
I don't know why I have to wet blanket it, though.
It's the same mentality behind his Islanders tweet. And I say this as a Rangers fan. Same mentality.
It's nasty.
No. The Islanders fan came from a place of aggression. This Jets take is just an honest assessment that to expect him to play 17 games or think there's a chance of that is silly. He's great. If you get 14, you should be thrilled about that.
I know what this is.
What is
this? I
know
exactly what this is.
What is it?
You're afraid that you're not going to get your quarterback now. That's what this is. You're afraid. You're scared.
No, one has nothing to do with the other.
Minnesota's coming, and you may be the odd man out. I get it.
Nothing?
Fine.
No. No, oh, my God. All right. Good. Bank on him for 17 games. We'll see how that works.
I'm not banking.
Bank on it.
Write it
in pen. Depth chart. Tyron Smith, left tackle, 17 games.
I'm lightly writing it in pencil.
Yeah.
Lightly.
I would very, very lightly write it in.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Joe J sends an email. The Jets did exactly what the Jets do. Sign old, over-the-hill, injury-prone players, and you're waxing poetic, man, Dave. You've fallen right into the Jets' homer trap. I don't think I'm falling for any trap. I think you have to be very aware that they've brought in some guys with injury concerns, but... Tyron Smith is a great left tackle. If he's healthy, home run. If he's not, I think it's worth the risk.
Well, that's one of the reasons why you got him a one-year deal. If you asked Joe Douglas, he was probably pretty surprised that Tyron Smith was willing to take a one-year deal with how good he is when he's actually healthy enough to play and how important it is. I mean, how important that position is.
What would give me pause is the fact that Dallas is like, we're done.
Well, I think also Dallas. I mean, Dallas is trying to go a little bit younger, right? I mean, we talked about that with Ray last week. They have someone they feel like they can slot in there. And, Tyron Smith is, hopefully for us he stays healthy, but someone that's been hurt.
Right. But again, you don't need 4 years. You're not building for the future. I mean, I think this is a smart move for this 1 year. You're taking a risk on a guy who has the potential to be a great left tackle. Could it blow up in your face? Absolutely. But, I mean, the Jets are in a position where they have to take the risks with these guys.
Right. They weren't. I mean, look at the guys they brought in here. And they weren't willing to pay a boatload of money to get it done. Right? I mean, this is Morgan Moses has 1 year. Tyron Smith signed a one-year deal. Like, they're going in. They have to. They have no choice. Like, I don't know why. The thing I don't understand is, and I guess... I guess as a Jets fan, maybe you appreciate it because he's not mortgaging the future with, you know, getting crazy here.
Right.
I can't say that I wouldn't. Knowing how important the season is for me, if I'm Joe Douglas.
Well, you know what? In fairness, he's not done yet either. Right. Let's see. You hear rumblings that T. Higgins is still very much on the block. I mean, do you make a play for him and mortgage draft capital?
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens with Mike Williams today, whether or not they can get that done.
Now, explain this to me, and we'll get to the calls in a moment, 1-800-919-3776. Mike Williams, right? He's going from New York to Carolina. Why in the world, unless Carolina offers you an amount of money that's so substantially different, why in the world would you sign with Carolina over the Jets?
I think money.
Right, which is what I just said.
Right, and I also think, just like Keenan Allen, I mean, the potential to have a relationship that's important to that team, that's valuable to that team, because, again, no one wants to make a mistake with the quarterback. So they're trying to justify why they took Bryce Young instead of C.J. Stroud. And right now it doesn't look good for them.
Well, I understand why they would want him.
But that's what he's thinking, though. Money. Long-term security. There's a better chance he gets a long-term deal there.
If he goes out this year for the Jets and puts up a big season, he's how old?
You don't think he's going to get a monster contract?
Oh,
but he's already establishing himself.
Doesn't matter.
In his relationship with Bryce Young.
If he goes out there and catches 82 passes for 1,100 yards and 7 touchdowns, he's going to get paid huge this offseason. He's a young wide receiver.
RJ.
I don't want to get in the middle of you.
Could you explain to him the benefit of being there for a year with the quarterback?
Couldn't disagree with him more here.
Oh, my God.
I think in the sport of football, just my opinion, I do think there is something to the build that you don't see, especially with teams that are building something. So you mentioned Carolina. Like, Bryce Young has to get rapport with somebody. Otherwise, they're never going to get better, right? So
I understand why Carolina would do it. I don't understand why he would do it.
For that reason.
If he has a great year for the Jets, you don't think every team that needs a wide receiver is knocking down the Mike Williams door?
Listen, but he's already shown Carolina that he has the rapport with Bryce Young. There's no question as to whether he and Bryce Young work. If they work, he's more valuable to Carolina. Carolina's going to pay him because he's important to their first overall pick, just like Keenan Allen's going to be important to their first overall pick.
All right, so then winning would be a secondary for him if this is...
He's not focused on winning. If he goes to Carolina, he's clearly not focused on winning. Like, I don't understand why you have it in your head that every person is... They're not all focused on winning. They're focused on money.
Okay. Well,
that's why you make that decision. Because there's no guarantee he's going to win with the Jets.
It doesn't even matter when with the Jets. If he has a good season, you don't think that he gets paid a ton of money this offseason?
Yeah, probably, but he's also weighing the fact that if I go to Carolina and show them that I am going to make their number one overall pick great, I'm more valuable to them. There's a value to that. There's a value to Keenan Allen being Caleb Williams' safety blanket. A big value because of how much jobs are at stake if those guys don't work out.
If you're the Bears, you sign a 32-year-old Keenan Allen to a long-term deal, that would be wild to me.
Oh, my God.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, but I think part of what Rick's saying is too.
I think he's getting so upset. I mean, he's wrong.
Because you keep saying the same thing over and over
again. Wrong.
It's obviously not about money if you choose Carolina. It's obviously not about winning if you choose Carolina over the Jets or a good team. I think that goes without saying. Carolina stinks.
Stinks.
The value for him is creating a relationship with Bryce Young that makes him more valuable to Carolina, which means they'll pay him more money.
And they have no choice but to pay him, right? If he goes out there and he has a monster season, they'll have no choice. I get that. But I don't know. I think it's worthy going to a team that at least you're going to have some important games. Carolina is irrelevant. If things go well, they'll win five games this season.
He does not care about that if he chooses Carolina.
All right.
You keep saying, all right, that's the fact. If you go to Carolina, you're not concerned about winning.
Fine. So then he's a guy that's chasing the money. Go after the money.
Can we take a call?
What's the oh my god?
Because that's fine. That you see it, you see it the way you see it, and I see it the way I see it.
You disagree.
That's why
he goes to Carolina. If he goes to Carolina, he is chasing the money, and winning is secondary to him. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
So what are you saying? Oh my god! For
well, no, that's it.
That's
right. But you keep at like, why would he do it? I'm telling you why he would do it. Because he can create more value for himself in Carolina by proving that him and Bryce Young work really well together.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay. Well, we'll
It's just like everyone was surprised that you would get that the Chargers would move off of Keenan Allen. Like there, no Mike Williams. You see what Keenan Allen means to Justin Herbert.
Well, they had to make decisions of who they're going to keep, right?
Well, yeah. Well, he didn't want to restructure his deal and take less money.
And the defensive guys did, Bosa and Khalil Mack.
Right.
We're willing to do that. All right, let's stop arguing. Let's get to some of the calls. 1-800-919-3776. Ira, Staten Island. Hi, Ira. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Rick, you got a lot of fire going early in the morning. I like the enthusiasm. Listen, you know, just give me an extra second here today. I got as critical as I've been of Joe Douglas and Saleh. I got to give at least Douglas at this point. Under the situation he was dealing with and the money and everything, I think he did an excellent job on paper. On paper, they haven't hit the field yet. While filling three roster spots on the offensive line. And I still, like I told you last week, I had no whims that he wasn't going to sign a veteran left tackle. He wasn't putting a 41-year-old quarterback over an Achilles with a rookie out there. They'll draft a tackle or an offensive lineman at some point. But he's put the team in perfect position to do anything he wants at 10, draft somebody, trade down. He could do the perfect thing. As for Mike Williams, I agree with both of you. But just remember, 29-year-old coming off ACL is a lot different than a 22, 23 coming off ACL. We'll see if he passes a medical. And you're right. If he wants to go to Carolina, it's strictly about the money. But you look at the Jets now, what Douglas has done has taken for the next 11 months, all the pressure off of him, and now it goes to Saleh. Now the head coach got to step in, and he got to put on his big boy pants and coach his team the right way.
Ira, you say that, and I think a lot of pressure is on Rodgers and the players and Saleh, and I think that's true. If this does not work, you don't think that Joe Douglas is going to be gone?
No, he's gone. No,
okay.
Then there still is
a lot of pressure on Joe Douglas.
Oh yeah, there is, but he's kind of tempered it somehow, if you want to say it that way. Okay, but at the end of the day, you know, this thing explodes. A couple of offensive linemen they get hurt. You don't have the proper depth. You know, there's rumblings in the locker room. They're losing games. The coach isn't doing well. They're all going to be gone. But the one thing, Woody can't make a mistake. If this team, and I think they're going to be very competitive, if this team goes 9-8 and they come up short, you're giving these two guys an extension?
How could you do that? Thanks for the call. I mean, you're 9-8, and again, you got to think you're 9-8. It's another year older for Rodgers, and now you have to get back to the drawing board, right? I mean, you're going to bring back Tyron Smith. He's going to be on the verge of being 34 years old. Who knows what he's been? I don't know. I don't think you could afford to go 9-8 this season.
No, you're going to have to address the offensive line again. I mean, Woody said it without saying it. I mean, they have to make the playoffs. It's been 13 seasons. The thing I would say to people, too, about, you know, that last email that you read, you really don't have time. As great as it sounds to draft a young left tackle, stick him in there, he'll be great. Like, you don't really have time for growing pains this season.
No, none of that. None of that.
So you at least have, I mean, it all depends on health, but you got guys you know that can play, and if you do end up drafting a tackle in this draft, at least you give them the opportunity to take, you know, to learn. And if the guy is, if he's a better option than Morgan Moses, then yeah, you can play.
Sure. Almost, I mean, I think it's a decent comparison. Almost like what you've talked about with the way the Giants can bring in the quarterback, right? If you have Daniel Jones, you're going to have Drew Locke. If you draft a quarterback as well, that's a good spot because you don't need to rush him in. If you draft Fuaga and he's brutal, you know, you don't have to play him. If you bring in Fuaga and you look and you're like, he's dominating every day in practice, I can put him at right tackle. Now that's a luxury you would have because you have addressed it regardless of whether you draft it or not.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh did that with Broderick Jones too. Right, all of a sudden, when they felt like he was ready, they threw him in, and he was great for them.
How about Pittsburgh getting Justin Fields for a sixth-round pick?
Conditional six, I know.
I mean, my God.
I guess they did solid by him because I guess there were other teams that...
Other teams that wanted him, and they said, for his growth and his maturity, we'll send him to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But my God.
I know, right?
I mean...
I guess Kenny Pickett's not a great guy either, huh?
Yeah, right? How are the Jets... I mean, the Jets are going to have to release Zach Wilson, right?
It feels that way, yeah.
I mean, you've watched Justin Fields and thought, boy, this guy has real potential, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, at least with his legs too. I mean, you see what he's capable of doing with his legs. Yeah, he's a better quarterback than Zach Wilson is,
and got a six for his services.
Conditional six, yeah.
When that happened, I thought to myself, boy, I really don't know. I really don't understand football at all. Like, if I'm a GM in this league, am I trading more than a six for Justin Fields? Absolutely.
I'd be interested to know what the other teams were that were interested. Yeah, I don't understand why you wouldn't take a flyer.
I think they said it was three additional teams that were interested, right?
Well, here's the thing, too. Like, you don't have to. I mean, you don't have to pick up his fifth-year option. Like, you could work something out where you extend him to something reasonable. You know what I mean? He goes to a spot where he feels like, even if he doesn't play a lot this season, but you see enough where you're like, well, I think this guy, you know, this kid has a chance to be, you know, if we work with him, really good.
Right.
You could get something done contractually where I'm sure he's looking around the league going, I just want to be able to start.
I was reading something from a sourced GM that said Russell Wilson is 100% the starting quarterback now.
Yeah.
In Pittsburgh.
Like, actually, they told him. Actually, they called him when they picked up Justin Fields to let him know.
I said, you're the guy. Starting.
Yeah.
The DNR pregame party back. Heading out to Publicans once again in Manhasset, Long Island, Thursday, May 2nd. Then riding the LIRR to Citi Field for the second annual pregame party ahead of Mets Cubs before we go into the game at 1 o'clock. All right, that's Thursday, May 2nd, Publicans, once again in Manhasset, and then right over to Citi Field, and we will see you there. And I think it's fair to say that was the best event we've done since we've been a show.
Yeah, it was an amazing event. Amazing event. I'm actually interested. You got to think, though, for Chicago, right? And this is not doing right by Justin Fields. But even if you draft Caleb Williams... At some point, you would think that someone's going to go down, right?
And you can get more. Why not hold on to Justin Fields? And when that quarterback goes down this preseason, you say, listen, would you like Justin Fields? Well, here's the thing, though. There's no market. Like, I guess I'm seeing
now,
something different. Right, but, a sixth-round pick for a starting quarterback who's, 24 years old? Like, how is there? I don't understand. Obviously, GMs don't like Justin Fields.
Yeah, or the contract situation, like just where he's at. Like, I got to understand why. Listen, I get it, but I mean, we saw how many quarterbacks went down this season.
All of them.
Okay, so I mean, if you hold on to him, it's not fair to Justin Fields because you draft Caleb Williams, whoever it is. But at some point, you think someone's going to get hurt and is going to give you more than a conditional six.
Well, I don't even think you think someone's going to get hurt. Someone is unequivocally going to get hurt, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, not even you think. Like, the NFL track record is that numerous quarterbacks are going to get hurt.
That's right.
So if you hold on to him, could you have gotten a three? I mean, you'd have to think yes, right?
You'd think better than what they got, but...
Well, if same situation this year. You're Minnesota. You're trying to get under every rock to see what's available. What happened to them last year? You wouldn't have given up a fourth-round pick for Justin Fields?
Yes, I would have.
Right. And how about Cleveland, who was signing guys off the scrap heap?
Yeah, see, that would be a perfect place for him. You would think, just because of how Deshaun Watson plays, right? Like, I mean, the Eagles would have been
a skill set, right?
Eagles would have been a really good place for him.
Well, thank God it's not Philadelphia.
You know what I mean? Like similar skill set to Jalen Hurts. But listen, good for him. He's out of there, and now he's in a good spot in Pittsburgh. But I still can't believe that Minnesota's just lurking right now.
They're going to move up into that top five, I guess, is where they're going to have to go.
Yeah, I was reading an article that said that they probably have like kind of an agreement in place already with someone like Arizona at four.
Really? So what? They got 23. Why did Houston do that?
Why did Houston do that?
Right.
That's a good question. Right now, Minnesota has 11 and 23.
Is that enough to move from 11 to 3? Probably not, right?
To 3?
Right.
I heard that the deal could be potentially with Arizona at 4.
But I can't imagine 11 and 23 is enough to move up 7 spots there, does it?
I'd have to look at the chart breakdown.
Let's go to D in Queens, see what he has to say. Hi, D.
What's going on, fellas? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right. Listen, the Jets passed on Lamar twice and now Justin Fields twice. For a guy who, I got the perfect comp for Aaron Rodgers. He's basically Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott in one person. His play is Dak Prescott because he's a choker, but he puts up some, you know, it looks pretty at times. And then he has the noisiness of Jerry Jones. Like where they thought they were getting Brady. Remember, I never wanted him. I don't see it working. Like, all of this, it sounds hopeful, but he's 40. Justin Fields would have been the perfect backup, and he would have had some hopefulness. You're backing up a 39-year-old with, what, a 34-year-old who's injury-prone? Both of them are injury-prone. So you have two quarterbacks who are injury-prone. This does not look good at all.
Well, let's just hope they're not injured at the same time. That's really the hope.
That's the issue I have. It's like, I don't see it. You could have had Justin Fields for, what, a 6th? Maybe a 7th?
Yeah, listen, we don't know. Maybe the Jets were one of those teams that was interested, and the Bears said, well, do you solid not trade you to the Jets? You have no idea.
It sounds like it sounds like at some point this draft, the Jets are going to take a quarterback, too, in the later rounds of this draft.
They probably need to, but that's the thing. The Jets are so undesirable right now. That's the issue.
Well, you say they're undesirable, like D, and thanks for the call. You say they're undesirable, but they did just bring in the biggest offensive lineman addition that there is right now.
Right. Well, listen, what I said last week, too, got misconstrued. What I meant is if Aaron Rodgers decides he wants to be the VP and you don't have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, like offensively, what are you selling to an offensive lineman or a Mike Williams?
You're not selling anything.
No. Like your defense is great. Jeff Ulbrich is really, really good. If their defense plays as well as they did this year, Jeff Ulbrich is going to be mentioned. Like, he'll be a part of the head coaching cycle because he's done such a good job with that defense. Like, those two things, great. Offensively, without Aaron Rodgers, you're not going to sell Nathaniel Hackett. You can't really sell your head coach because he hasn't been very good.
And then you don't have a quarterback.
All right, so what makes them desirable is they have really good young offensive weapons.
And they're in a win now. Like, they can waste no time to try to win.
Right, they're going to do whatever they can to try to win immediately.
Now, you say that you know, like a Mike Williams might prefer Carolina to the Jets just for the money. There have to be some guys out there that look at what the Jets are doing and say, I want in on that.
Yeah, but it's the guys you want. I'm sure OBJ is looking at it like, yeah, I'd like to play there.
I don't. If I'm the Jets, I mean, I don't want any part of OBJ.
Tyler Boyd?
Tyler Boyd, I would. This is either going to be a massive success or blow up in flames is what's going to happen.
Right. See, the problem with, like, you mentioned T. Higgins. The problem with T. Higgins is you're giving up draft picks to get him, and on top of that, you got to pay him. Right. And how that affects you down the line when you have to pay your own guys. When you're going to have to pay Garrett Wilson, or you're going to have to pay...
You're right. But you know what the truth is? He now becomes one of those guys. Maybe you choose him over somebody else.
Dude, when you start looking at it, and you have to pay Sauce, you're going to have to pay Jermaine Johnson, you have to pay... You're going to have to pay Garrett. You're going to have to pay, decide if you want to pay Breece Hall.
Right,
So a lot of guys you're going to have to pay. AVT.
There certainly are. All right, let's break. We'll come back. We'll get into the Knicks and the Mets and more college basketball and more Jets. Again, it's bouncy, and it's Monday. And we go around the league as well. It's DNR with you on 98.7 ESPN. All right, for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and the experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by and say...
Hello!
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.